city, which was a sinner. And she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet. Now, you're positive that I read this a little bit ago. And when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, saith on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore which of them will love him most." Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he whom thou I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said unto the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Thy faith hath saved thee. Faith is a gift of God. I know that the ordinary interpretation of the source of faith is attributed to the sinner, that it is within every man's power to exercise faith, that he has a sort of built-in faith, that every man, this is the common interpretation or translation of faith, is that every man, woman, boy, or girl, has a inbred faith. and they exercise that faith. But the truth of the matter is, we as unregenerate sinners, we have no faith. The Bible says that faith is a gift of God. Faith is that unseen but felt attribute that belongs to God and God alone. And it is a gift. If a man has faith, it's the result of a gift given to him by God. When Adam fell, he lost everything. He didn't fall halfway down the ladder or two or three rungs down the ladder. But when he fell all the way. He was like Humpty Dumpty, had a great fall. What's the rest of it, Pat? Humpty Dumpty, when he fell, he had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them back together again. And when man fell, he fell like Humpty Dumpty. Couldn't be put back together again. He was void of anything, any inclinations, anything that would incline him to cry after God. Faith is outside of the alien sinner. When I say alien sinner, I mean one who is a stranger unto the covenant of promise, a stranger unto God. He's outside of the ark of safety. He's a stranger. And he does not have within him a innate faith, an inbred faith that he can call upon. He has no faith. Faith is a gift of God, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. So a man is without faith. The individual in his natural state, in his fallen state, he's lost everything. He has no connections whatsoever with God. He does not have a inwrought, built-in constitution that makes up faith that he can exercise. Faith is a gift of God. He must have this faith given to him outside of him. And faith is a gift of God. Faith is that which connects us to the object of faith, and the object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is a gift of God. A man cannot be saved apart from faith, and God must give faith. And when man fell, he fell all the ways like Humpty Dumpty. He just didn't fall two or three steps, but he fell all the way, and every part of his being was broken. His conscience was seared. His understanding was darkened. There was nothing left of that which was innocent and without sin. Adam, who was our representative, was come from the hand of God, and he was innocent. Adam pleased God in his innocency. But when Adam disobeyed God, then he lost all, and forfeited all rights to God. Adam being our representative, the first man, the first Adam, he represented all of us. We all were in the first Adam. And Adam was innocent before God, and God had fellowship with him. But when Adam disobeyed God, he lost his innocence and lost everything. And now, we, being of Adam's race, are far off from God, and we have no inclination to return to God. We do not even give God a thought. If we do think of God, we think of a God of our own manufacturing, a God that we like to make up for ourselves, and we won't permit the God that we know to do so and so and so and so. We kind of put him in a little ring or a little mold and mold him as we think that he is, but he's not like we think he is. And when Adam fell there in the garden, he lost all. He lost all. He didn't have no faith. He didn't have nothing else. He didn't have nothing that could recommend himself to God. In order for him to become linked up with God, he must be given what? The gift of faith. He must be given the gift of faith in order for him to repent, in order for him to believe. He must have this gift. Faith is a gift of God. It is not an inward thing that we can turn on or we can shut off. It's a gift that God gives us. And when he gives us faith, faith causes us to lay hold of the object of faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said here, to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. She didn't have a built-in faith. Faith's the gift of God. Thy faith. Her salvation depended upon this faith that connected her with God. Her salvation depended upon this connection. She didn't have faith in herself. That is, this faith was not inwrought in her soul. It was something outside of her. God gave her faith. Now, God does not give everybody faith. If God gave everybody faith, everybody would be saved. Because the faith that God gives, which is true faith, joins our souls in living faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent as our Savior and our Redeemer, as our sin bearer, as our forgiveness, as our righteousness, as our guide, as our hope, which is eternal life. All this is outside of ourselves. And when God gives us faith, that faith hooks us up, joins us up with God. Faith. So it said unto the woman, thy faith, God-given faith. Faith is a gift of God. It's not something that you're born with. You're born without faith. You're alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Born in sin, conceived in iniquity, and far off from God. You're so far off, you'll never come back on your own. Wherever you are, and whatever your condition is, God has got to go where you are and bring you back. He's got to give you faith. You can't believe without faith. You can't be saved without faith. Faith is a gift of God. You're void of faith. You lost all that in your representative, the first Adam. When Adam acted, he acted on my behalf. What he did, I did. He forfeited his right and title to fellowship with God by his sin against God. When he fell, then all of his people, all of the race to come, all humans that were to come out of Adam's seed, they fell with him. They fell with him. And when you say that they died, they fell and they died a spiritual death, and you can say, and it is true, that when they fell, they become dead as a doornail. Dead as a doornail spiritually. Dead in conscience. Dead in their soul. And before they can hook up, before they can be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, they've got to have faith. And faith is outside of them. Faith is a gift of God, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. It's outside of them, and God has got to give them the gift of faith. And he told this woman, he said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Now, her faith didn't save thee. Her faith was not that that saved her. The Lord Jesus Christ saved her, but faith, which was the gift of God, hooked her up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm talking about? Her faith didn't save her. Faith's the gift of God, but it joined her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all men born of woman are born without faith. God, the Holy Spirit, must give the alien, he that is not a citizen of the kingdom, he that is a stranger to the covenant of grace, he has no faith, and God must give him the gift of faith that will connect him with God the Father. Faith that's unseen. Faith that worketh in our souls and brings us to a knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what the Lord Jesus Christ done, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and what He's doing, and what He will do. It connects us with Him, the Prince of Faith, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So, thy faith hath saved thee. Now, if a man's saved, he's not saved by his good works. He's saved the same way that this woman saved. This woman that showed, that gave evidence of faith. There is a dead faith, and there is a faith that's a living faith. And living faith gives evidence. A dead faith does not give any, has no evidence to give, but a living faith. Now, this faith manifests itself in what she done. Simon answered in that 43rd verse and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most," and he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" Now, faith inwrought, which is a gift of God, that worketh in our soul, when it's given to us, it gives evidence. It displays itself. The Bible talks about this faith that joins us to the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior is a what? Not a dead faith. It's an active faith. It's a living faith. Living faith that joins us to to the object of faith, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman, and he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, said, "You see this woman? I entered into thine house." See, you see this woman here, don't you? Yeah, I said, "Well, you remember when I come into your house? I entered into your house. You gave me no water. You gave me no water for my feet, much less wash my feet. You didn't even give me any water. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head." Now, this is an expression of living faith. This is a faith that's active. This is not a dead faith. This is a faith that believes. This is the faith that works. Said, "I entered into your house, Simon, as your guest. You didn't give me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears. Her heart was broke. And wiped them with the hairs of her head." This certainly is a evidence expressed that denotes love. Love, the love of this woman to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember he said to Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me, Peter?" Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Well, Peter, feed my sheep. For she has," this is the evidence of her faith, "she has washed my feet with the tears that flowed from her cheek. And she has wiped the tears, and that is mixed with the water, the liquid of the tears, the dirt on his feet. She has wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." That's devotion. That's what faith produces. Faith produces devotion to a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I've been trying to say all these years. I've been trying to say that you come here from Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, and you study your Bible, and you read with me as we go along through the Bible, and you sing the hymns of Zion from your heart, and you give of your money, and your life is for the most part without spot or wrinkle. You walk before your fellow men with your head up and your eyes looking straight out, and give a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that is the result of faith, the result of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's this woman here. Why, she said, he said, you haven't given me no kiss. You haven't greeted me. But this woman here that was, bad. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. That's the evidence there. That's the evidence of a new birth. That's the evidence of a man in repentance and faith, and some knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's evidence of salvation. That's what being saved is. Being saved is loving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, following the Lord in baptism, living for Him the day after you're baptized, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. You stumble, you fall, you get up again, you keep on going, but the whole bent and course of your life is going in one direction. It's going after Christ. This is what she done. "This woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Oh, that's the best news that a heavy-hearted sinner will ever hear. That's the best news he'll ever hear in this life. If he lives to be 100 years old, there'll be no better news to fall upon his ears than thy sins are forgiven thee. It's good news if your loved one is in the hospital, sick, looks like he's going to die. Maybe your child, maybe your only child, maybe a loving aunt or uncle, maybe your father, maybe your mother, maybe the dearest child you got, laying in there ready to die. And the Lord comes to your rescue and helps you out. Oh, what a feeling. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, she had a lot of them, they're forgiven. They're gone. Oh, when we come to the knowledge and realization that God hath forgiven us of our sins for Christ's sake, for His sake, on His account, on the account of who He is, on the account of what He's done, and on the account of what He's doing, and on the account of where He's at, forgiven us of all of our sins, all of them. Oh, what a wonderful thought. Not in part, but in whole. Forgiven sinner. Oh, a forgiven sinner is the most admired person in heaven apart from God Himself. A sinner that's been forgiven, washed in the blood. This poor woman here. He said, "You gave me no water, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, anointed my head with oil." Thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet. I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, they are forgiven. Oh, what wonderful words spoken to her. Has that ever dawned on you? Has it ever been made real to your heart that the sweet whisper of the Spirit of God has come into your heart and said unto you, "I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you for Jesus' sake." Oh, that's the sweetest words that you'll ever hear. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. The Lord hath forgiven her, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth. But he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." The past is forgot about. When a man is forgiven of his sin, our Lord expresses it this way. He said he casts them behind his back, never to remember them. Aren't you glad this evening? You're a sinner, but you're a saved sinner. And some of your sins and some of my sins, I wouldn't want anybody in this world to know about it. Some of the deeds that you've done and some of the black, vile, awful, detestable sins that I've committed and you committed, I wouldn't want anybody to open the pages of the book and look and say, "Well, look at this fellow. I'm so ashamed of my sins." But listen, these sins are forgiven. My sins, for Jesus' sake, on His account, because He took my place and bore my punishment and robed me in His righteousness and made me accepted in Himself before the throne. He bore all that. He paid the penalty that was due me and paid it in full. 16 ounces to the pound. 100 pennies to the dollar. He paid it all. No less, no more. He paid it all and cast it behind his back, and he said to us, I'll not remember these sins against you. And this is forgiveness, a full forgiveness, to have the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the true and the living God, to say with his own lips, I'll not remember these sins against you. They're gone. I've cast them in the ocean of my forgetfulness, and I'll never revive your sins. Oh, that's forgiveness. That's true forgiveness. I might forgive you, but I might get mad at you before I die and revive those sins. But God won't do that. And I'm glad, aren't you? That makes me glad that God will not display my black heart before people to just expose me to what I am and what I was. I'm glad. Oh, my soul. If I never loved Him in the past, I certainly love Him tonight. That He hath forgiven me. Not for anything that I've done or can do, but He hath forgiven me on Jesus' account for His sake. He saith unto the woman, thy faith. God, He gave her faith. He demands faith, and you can't produce it. You can't produce faith, can you, Pat? Only God can produce faith. He demands faith out of you, and then He provides it for you. He calls it your faith. It's not your faith. It's outside of you. He gave it to you. There was a time when you was alienated from God and had no faith. But if you believe here tonight, if you believe in the testimony of God concerning His Son, that He came to this world to save sinners, and you know that you're a sinner. And so your ears prick up here and you begin to listen and say, well, what is this? That God Almighty, the Almighty God that can't be contained, that God will stoop so low that He'll find me in the ditch and He'll forgive me of my sins. He'll do that. That's how He saves sinners. He comes where they are. He meets them on their own terms. He comes. All His love and purity and beauty and loveliness. Say, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said to that woman, thy faith hath saved thee. And then He said, go in peace. And when that's said unto our hearts, go in peace. That's assurance. That's assurance. All's well. We're able to say, all's well with my soul. With my soul. Well, I've tried to say a few things about this, but when I started, I had no idea that I would.